I think that each and every one of us probably isn't good at waiting. I don't know. Some of us maybe are good at waiting. Some of us aren't good at waiting. But Psalm 40, just verses 1 through 3 talks about this. David is writing this psalm, and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be astounded, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, we just pray right now that it will penetrate our hearts, Lord. Lord, that it would encourage us. Lord, it will keep us moving forward in our relationship with you. God, come closer to us, Lord. That is our heart's cry, is that we get closer to you each and every day. And so, Father, open up our hearts and ears to listen and receive to what you've got to say to us on this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's this psalm that we just read, and it's a beautiful piece of scripture. Like I've told you guys before, that Psalms is kind of one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's my go-to if ever I'm in a struggle, I suppose, is my go-to book. The Lord really spoke to me on waiting patiently. Waiting patiently. Now, you guys know that we came back from England just a few weeks ago, and prior to us actually getting to England, we had to go on an aircraft. Our flight, as we strolled into to Dulles and just outside of Washington, we got an email to say, your flight has been 2 hours delayed, and we were early in our plans anyway. And so we got to the airport like 7 hours early because for our flight. So here we are. We're thinking, well, it takes about an hour to get through security and baggage and all that wonderful stuff. No, because we're a family, they kind of opened up gates for us and made it all real smooth and simple. And security normally takes, to say, me about 45 minutes. But with a family, it took us like 5 minutes. And so we get to our gate. And we're like, it's 6 hours. And I'm like, 6 hours? It's with a nearly two-year-old, a five-year-old, and a seven-year-old, and me and Becca, and it's a midnight now flight that we're getting out of, and we're like, we don't really want the kids to go to sleep. And I tried everything, and I just got incredibly impatient for my flight. I knew that my flight was coming. They had already told us that the way the British Airways do things is the flight that comes over is the flight that then goes back to England, and England's the main hub. It's different to kind of some of these other airports. So the flight was in the air. It was coming. We knew it was coming. We knew where our destination was, but I had to wait 6 hours at this point with kids. Luckily, I had a football that I put in DC's bag, so we threw a football around a bit until it hit the gate sign and kind of was like, oh, that looks like it could break, and right, let's not play football. Bella decided she was going to do cartwheels. DC and I played tag. I mean, we ate food, and I'm like, that was all in the first hour, and I'm going, we got 5 more hours. Come on. All right. And then I thought, well, it's okay, because eventually the flight came, they cleaned it up, and they were like, and I was like, oh, by the time that we actually, you know, line up and get on the flight, that's another bit more time that can be wasted. No, we're a family, apparently. I've never flown with a family before. We went with that priority boarding because we had a family. So we were like first on the plane. So I'm like, that's great. Now I have to wait 45 minutes on a plane for everybody else to come on with the kids. So they're all excited. And it just got me just how impatient I am. I mean, I love my kids, but they drive me wild sometimes because they were like, we want to go on the plane. And I'm like, so do I. So do I. But we become impatient. And how many times, though, in our Christian walk with God, are we the same way? Like, we know the destination. You know, for us, we knew that the flight was in the air. We knew it was landing. We knew that it was going to get us to England. The same way in our Christian walk, you know, maybe God has given you a promise. Maybe you have been praying. Maybe you've read the scriptures and said, well, these are promises of God and they're not happening. You're in this waiting period. You know the final destination. You know what's going to come. But what do we do in that waiting period? Why does God even allow us to wait? You know, it's interesting here that David says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. Now, to me, though, for David to even say he waited patiently and the Lord heard my cry and he lifted me out of the miry clay, but he heard, but there was a time of waiting. There was a time of David waiting patiently. And so to me, I was looking at just this subject, what is patience? And I thought and looked up a couple of quotes of people and, you know, some people that I don't even know, but they sounded good quotes. But Ulrich Ruffert said, patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. Bill McLash says, patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead of you. I thought that was funny. That Bill Gothard said, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. See, there are all different terms of what patience could be to people. The dictionary term says it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. You see, patience is something that if we look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and patience is one of those fruit of the Spirit. As Christians, we should have patience. But I think sometimes our human nature comes over and we're like, God, we need you to sort this situation out now. Maybe, you know, as I said, maybe God has given you a vision and it hasn't come to pass yet. Maybe you've been praying for a change to happen in your life and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you've been praying a prayer, need for a friend or a family and it's not happened yet and you're having to wait patiently. And the reason that we can get patience from God, though, and God wants to give us patience is because we are in God's time. Ever thought about that? We're in God's time. Too many times, I think we are, by our nature, I suppose, kind of selfish. We've spoken about in Sunday school about how, God was there with Adam and Eve, and it was, in some respects, selfishness of them that they wanted to go and eat from the tree of good and evil. You know, again, we spoke in Sunday school about just how these different men were selfish in their views and wanting their own things. And in some respects, we can be selfish of time. God, do it in my time. I want you to sort this situation out in my time. But we often forget that God operates on a totally different timetable. The psalmist says that, and I think it's so true, he wasn't joking when he said that that 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like a thousand years. And so here's the point. The way that God does things is often totally different to the way that we would like him to do things. I know that there's things in my life that I'm like, God, I'd like you to do it in a different way. You know, if you could make it that I could eat as much food as I want and not put on weight, that would be great. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. So for me to lose weight, I have to not eat as much. But we like sometimes for God to do things in our time instead of us waiting in his time. We are ready for things to be done yesterday while God's timetable is very different. And one thing that I've learned in my Christian walk, I don't know about you, but God is never in a hurry. God's never in a hurry. Everything's in his timetable. We panic. We go, God, can you hurry up? And he's going, why? It's okay. I got this. I'm in control. I'm not hurrying, but we want him to. But I think God always has good reasons for making us wait. Waiting is a part of life, and I think it's one of God's tools, no matter how young or how old we are, it's one of God's tools to develop in us to become godly people. There's a few ways that I just thought about that I think is a good thing for us to wait on God. The first thing is waiting reveals our true motives. Waiting reveals our true motives. One of the things that we used to do at a church in England, if somebody wanted to be a part of the worship team, we had three different worship bands, And if somebody wanted to be part of the worship team, we put them on the sound and the projector that we had first. That was what we did. Why? Because we wanted to see the motives. Was their heart to serve, or was their heart just to get up on stage in front of a couple of hundred people and sing in front of them or play drums or whatever it was? What's their heart? What's their motives? And I think that God sometimes does the same thing with us, that waiting has a way of bringing out the best and the worst in people. Ever waited with somebody and they just got so aggravated that you just wanted to slap them? You know, maybe in a Christian way, but you know what I'm saying? Husbands, you're probably that person. You know, wives are like, amen. When my husband is waiting impatiently, he just, oh man, the worst comes out in him. But people who don't have good motives won't wait long because they're not interested in the commitment it takes to see something through. They're too interested in the short-term gain or the short-term success. But most of us have, I would hope, good intentions when it comes to God. But a lot of what we want to accomplish is an attempt to sometimes make a name for ourselves. Remember, though, we have to lift Him high and we bow down low. So sometimes our waiting reveals our true motives. Waiting builds patience within our lives. Patience in waiting for small things leads to having patience in the bigger things. All right, if we can't wait for God to do a small thing, we certainly are not going to be able to wait for God to do a big thing. Our problem is our perspective, as I said a minute ago, is usually wrong. We tend to think of the bigger things in life, finances, possessions, while God thinks of influencing and changing people, though, is more important. That's what His goal is about, is changing people's hearts. And so waiting builds patience in our life. Waiting builds anticipation. Like, you guys know the little secret that we've got going on that our kids don't know that we've been saving up for, and we're going to be going to Disney World in September. Please don't tell them because they still don't know. I don't know how we've kept it a secret. But, like, the waiting even for Becca and I, this anticipation is like, just can't wait, you know? And just this buildup of, like, we're going to have so much fun, and the kids don't know, and it's their first time, and it's going to be like this awesome, hopefully, family experience that we have. Just, you know, and think about even Christmas. You know, kids, and maybe you guys the same way. You know, the anticipation building up to Christmas. You know, we do this because the wait produces that anticipation, and we tend to appreciate things longer, don't we, when we have to wait for them. And maybe God is doing that in your life right now. He just wants you to have this anticipation of saying, hey, I'm going to move. I'm going to do this. But hey, just wait on me. Build this anticipation up. And I think another thing that it does is waiting transforms our character. It's a way of molding us. Waiting has a way of rubbing off the rough edges on our life. Most of us know the story, don't we, of Moses? You know, Moses was this great leader, led the Israelites, but the whole story of Moses is a time of him having to wait patiently. We forget, don't we, that sometimes, you know, that he had to wait, you know, 40 years before God came to him. God used this time of waiting to transform his character. We know this because when he was a young man, he was brash and impatient, and these young characteristics that he had. And then he ended up killing a man. And then in killing this man, he hid his body. And when his sin was made public, he ran for his life. He was exiled to the desert. But then he was given this second chance. And he opted to do it God's way and in God's time. And in the end, the Israelites were delivered from slavery, and Moses became a great leader. Waiting transformed Moses. And it does the same for you and I. And lastly, just waiting builds up intimacy and a dependence upon God. It builds up an intimacy and a dependence. The reason we were able to read about the great men and women of the Bible is because they all had one thing in common. They were all people who learned their success in life was directly proportionate to their intimacy and dependency upon God. They learned that it was about their dependency upon God. For them, a relationship with God wasn't a what we would call a get-rich-quick scheme, but it was about having an intimate relationship with God. And it was a matter of life or death. And the good news is that God never asks us to wait, though, without Him. Like when God says, wait patiently, like, you know, I waited patiently for the Lord, but the Lord was always with David. Like when we're asked by God to wait patiently, God's not saying, I'm going to be over here and you wait patiently over there. No, He's saying, wait patiently, but I'm going to wait with you. I'm going to be alongside you. See, some of the most intimate relationships, though, that we have in our lives are because of friends and maybe even family that stood by us during the heart of a battle, during that waiting season. And it's the same way with God. It brings an intimacy and a dependency upon God. When we wait, and we know that He's with us. And you see, I believe with all my heart that God is just as interested as in the journey, in the waiting times, as He is the destination. Like I said for me at the beginning, you know, the aircraft that we were on, you know, that was the destination. That was going to take us to the destination we'll go, but we had to wait. In our Christian walk with God, you know, we know where the destination is. It's going to be heaven. But sometimes we have to wait patiently in between it. And God's there waiting with us during those times. Because if He didn't, then all the biblical accounts would only include the feel-good parts and not the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we would say. These times of waiting are something that we may not always understand why we're going through this. But the good news is that God never asks us to wait without Him. He's always there. And let's face it, there's things in life that we can't hurry. Maybe there's a job change. Maybe there's schooling schedules, marital status, friendship woes. You know, the list can go on and on. And some of those things really do just take time. But they take also patience. And I don't know about you, but I want God to open doors for me and ensure my victory. I don't want to try and claim victory myself, because then we're out of what God's will is for our lives. I want to wait patiently. And unfortunately, so many times I've seen people get so impatient with God that they even go away from God. That intimacy that we've just been talking about, they walk away from God because they get impatient. Whereas in God wants us to be patient. Let's not just wait around, let's be patient. Let's in some respects be consumed by us being patient. Get consumed in the prayer that we were talking about at the beginning of the service. Get consumed in the waiting. Get consumed in the knowing that patient there lies ultimately a blessing for you, for your family maybe, for provision, for protection that will reach far beyond what any of us will ever hope for. Be patient. There's four things that David had to wait for but got, and they had benefits from God. And remember, the scripture verse said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. And He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be astounded, and they will put their trust in the Lord. See, the first thing that God did for David in his time of waiting was that He lifted him out of despair. The second thing is He set his feet on solid ground. Third thing is He steadied him as he walked. And then the great thing is, the last thing is he put a new song in his mouth. A song of praise. You see, in our patience, in our waiting of patiently, sing God's praise. Let God give you a new song. And then do you know what the best thing about all of this scripture verse is? I love this bit, and this is what we're just going to end on. But I love this. In you waiting patiently, and then after the waiting happens, the God does the miracle, whatever is needed. But you've waited patiently. He says this, many will see what he has done and be astounded, and they will put their trust in the Lord. You waiting patiently could be the example that somebody that doesn't know Jesus needs, and that they will put their trust in the Lord because they'll be astounded by what God has done in your life. You see, we wait patiently and see what God is going to do. Yes, sometimes we're going to cry tears. Yes, sometimes the answer, like even Tim was saying earlier in Sunday school, may not be the answer that we want. Maybe we have to wait for that answer. Like, I don't have all the answers. I'm not God. But I trust in a God that loves me. I trust in a God that cares for me. And that same God trusts, that you should trust, loves you so much, cares for you so much. So yes, we may not know why we're going through a waiting period. We may not know why we're going through these troubles that we're facing. We may not understand, God, why aren't you bringing the healing that is needed? But we wait patiently for the Lord to see what he wants to do. Because he loves you. The plans that he has for you in your life is good. But our ultimate goal, our ultimate aircraft, if we want to use that analogy, is going on to heaven and being with him. But through our actions, through our waiting patiently, people will be astounded by what God has done in our lives, and will come to know and trust him. And so I want to encourage you, church, this morning, wait patiently. Whatever the needs are right now in your life, wait patiently. Wait patiently and see what God is going to say to you. But embrace that waiting. Don't just sit at the airport and go, okay, I'm going to wait patiently and I'm going to wait 6 hours and just sit on a seat and do nothing. Sometimes in the waiting and the patiently, we have to get on our knees and pray. And that's a good thing. You know, sometimes we think, well, gosh, if I have to pray so much, that's a bad thing. No, that's a good thing. It means you're talking to God. And God hears your prayers. But let us remember just those things that I was talking about, that we waiting builds intimacy upon God and a dependency upon God. Waiting, let it transform our character. Let the waiting build our anticipation. Let the waiting build patience within our own lives. And let's make sure that within the patience, our true motives comes out, which is for him. Let us pray. And is Kevin at the back there? Kevin, do you mind just playing us a song real quick as we come to end? I'm sorry. And I know that we've been kind of done a lot of praying, I suppose, but there's never too much prayer that we can do. And so as Kevin just plays us a song before we close out the rest of the service, if you need prayer, maybe you're in a waiting part of your life right now. You're waiting for God to move and you want prayer. We want to pray with you. Let's take time. Maybe you just want to spend some time with God alone and praying for those needs that you're waiting patiently for. Maybe you need patience within your life. Then we just want to come into agreement with you. We want to pray with you. Or as I said, if you want to just pray where you're at. But let's just spend a few minutes before we close out the service. And just, God is obviously speaking to somebody this morning because the way the service has gone. And so let us spend a few minutes praying. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've got together this morning, Father. We thank you that you've spoken quite clearly to us about waiting patiently within the trials that we face. And so, Father, I pray now that, God, that you will give us all patience, Father. Whatever we're facing or whatever the future, Lord, that we will be patient in it. We will trust you in it. Understand that we're in your time and you're not in our time. But Lord, that we know that when we wait patiently, that you get us out of the miry clay, that you set our feet upon a rock. And Lord, we pray that you will just give us a new song, a song of praise to you. And Lord, that people will see in our waiting how great you are. And Lord, that they will come to trust you. So Lord, I pray now by your Spirit, God, that you will just infill all of us, God. Come, give us the patience that we need. Give us the comfort that we need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.